98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy. Weekdays from 10 a.m. on 98FM.
Now, earlier on, you may have heard on our news, our lead story today is all about the occupation of a house in the city centre. A house where scores of tenants were found to be living in incredibly cramped conditions has been occupied by housing groups. Some 150 demonstrators marched from Dublin city centre to Summerhill Place last night, where they occupied the property. Participants in the protest, including the Dublin Central Housing Action Group, said they wanted to raise awareness of the housing situation in Ireland. Is this Apollo House the second? I have to find out a little bit more. 98FM's Jamie Moore has made his way down to this house at Summerhill Place. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adrian, how are you?
Jamie, what can you tell me about what these people are doing?
Well, I can see a red banner above the house that says Homes for All. There's also some handwritten placards on the railings outside the house that include Slum Landlords Out and Housing is a Right. The house has a yellow door. There are some protesters outside and some inside as well. And I'm joined by two of the people now who've just come outside from inside the house. What's your name?
Connor's my name.
And what's your name?
Oisin's my name.
So, Connor, we just heard about the march last night. Bring us the story from there as to how you guys gave entry to this property last night and why.
Yeah, so the march was a real high point last night, and we're all very pumped up. It was a real show of strength. We all took the road down from the GPO to here, so we were raring to go. And we got here, like, we've been keeping an eye on the property for a number of months now, and like the door was open, so we knew it had been vacant. And at that stage, we thought we had the energy to go in, and we went in. A number of us, maybe 20 or so at the start, and then more after that, went into the house and secured the place for a start. And that's when the war kind of started, and we started dividing labour inside and start getting the word out, getting a public rally outside, getting more people down. That happens.
So obviously, we're outside currently. You're not allowing me in, which is fair enough. So bring us inside on the radio switch and tell me what it's like in there, how many people are there, why they're there and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so we have a kind of really broad representation of people inside. We have people from grassroots housing activist groups. We have people that run soup kitchens. And we have people from various political parties, trade unions, NGOs. It's broad a representation. And people affected directly by the crisis as well, of course. So, like, the representation's as broad as the number of people that are affected by the crisis. Inside, we've divided up the work into kind of three main teams. You have people speaking to the media, people like yourself. You have people that are speaking to the local community. And it's been great, actually, the support that we've gotten from the local community so far and the various community groups around here. They see this building empty, and they see their families and friends affected by the housing crisis, see people homeless and living in hubs and whatever. And they're asking questions. Why are these properties empty? When the council could bring them into public ownership through compulsory purchase orders, why aren't they doing that? The public demand for it could be easily done. It wouldn't take much money, and it would ease so much pain, suffering, and the brunt of this crisis. So these are the questions we're asking. We're bringing public support around us now.
Jamie, can you ask, is it their intention to make this protest? And I understand that they've talked about perhaps occupying a number of buildings nearby. Is it their intention to attempt to turn this into Apollo House the second?
Well, Sheena, is it your plan to turn this into a new Apollo House as such? And if so, how do you plan to do that? How long do you plan to stay here? And I know the guards were here last night as well, and you guys are obviously aware that what you're is illegal, even though you feel that it's the right thing for you guys to do.
Well, we wouldn't say that we're planning on turning this into a new Apollo House. This is a separate action that's being run by grassroots community organisations. The goal of this is to give this property back to the community as it should be done. And really, it's going to be a question of what the community wants the property to be used for. It's not about us saying what we're going to do with it. It's about people coming together and saying, you know, we're in the middle of a housing crisis. They know what the answer is, and that's what we're going to do. So it's going to be a question of outreach and community building.
So if that doesn't work, what's plan B as such? Because the people in this house are clearly, you know, willing to stay here if you don't get what you want and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, plan B and plan A and plan C is continued action, continued mobilization, continued organization. We've had a huge upswell of support, both from the local community and indeed broader from various groups. As you see, with cars going by, people are behind us. And this is a national crisis. You have almost 10,000 people homeless. You have over 3,000 children homeless in this country. It's a disgrace that the government hasn't taken action. And we will continue to fight until appropriate action is taken to resolve this emergency.
Yeah, Adrian, we're getting some beeps of some cars and some taxis.
So I can hear.
Starting to grow as well. I just have one more question for you, Connor, before we hand back to Adrian. Just in terms of the people in the house, and we mentioned that 10,000 people homeless, but the 3,000 kids as well. Can you tell me some of the stories of the people in there? I know you're a student, you're not homeless, luckily for you, but there are people in there who actually are homeless, who at the moment, the roof over their heads on number 35 Summerhill Place is their home, and it's just starting to rain, for example. We've had some fantastic weather in the last couple of months, but things still got cold again. It's a minute, the roof over these people's heads. Just tell me about some of them.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It is a roof over their heads at the moment. But at the same time, like, we're not trying to be another Apollo House. Like, this isn't a hostel, it's a political action. And, like, we're calling for more permanent solutions here. Like people inside, they have understandably crushing stories, as so many people do. People with very complex problems in their own lives and stuff. And, I can't really give you a story. Like, everybody has their own, and, like, they're complex. I think everybody's committed to this as a political action. It's not about, like, putting a roof over their head, such as taking a risk because they want, they're demanding that housing becomes a right. And housing is a right. We need to insist on that. And I guess we're calling for public accommodation, public housing, and security of tenure. We want slumlords, and we want compulsory purchase orders.
But
Jamie,
I've just one more question to ask him.
Yeah.
Realistically, is a protest like this going to do any of that, realistically?
Well, Jean, Adrian is asking if you feel that a protest like this, in real terms, will achieve any of the aims that you've spoken about.
Absolutely, because I think this protest is a spark to light a broader mobilization. It's not just a question about this protest in and of itself. It's a question about bringing people together and showing that actually you can take action, because one individual property isn't the end solution to this crisis. It's going to require taking huge amounts of properties back into public ownership, back into the control of their communities. But this is that first step, and it acts as a beacon that can bring people together. We've already brought together numerous groups who were involved in this action, even more groups who were involved in the protest yesterday. Those groups and grassroots mobilization is going to be what brings this crisis to an end, by forcing the government, by forcing local councils to actually take action.
Adrian, just finally, you'd be forgiven for thinking that the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is here times 30, or it's a Halloween party gone wrong, because dressed in a Leo Varadkar mask looking at me out the window. The two boys here who I'm speaking to are the same. And I just wanted to ask you finally, Connor, on that, and, you know, the sign, a couple of the signs on the lamppost here, you know, we're talking about Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach. What do you want to say to him if he's listening or his office? Because you seem to be aiming the blame at this, at his door, because he's, of course, in charge of the government, who are in charge of trying to help solve this homeless crisis.
Stop the excuses. Take your hands out from under your arse. Take action. Build public housing. Bring in serious rent caps. Compulsory purchase order, all these properties, put the builders to work. Stop making excuses for your inactions. Stop prioritising landlords like the landlord that owns this place. Don't let them away with it anymore. Don't let them away with the rent increases. Don't let the slum landlords away with packing people into rooms 8 and 10 at a time with mould growing on the wall and these awful conditions, fire traps as well. It's just excuse after excuse, and we won't have it anymore. So we want action. We want no more excuses.
Jamie, I just want you to stay there for one second. I don't know, what's his name? His name is Connor, is it?
His name is Connor, yeah.
Connor, I don't know if Connor's able to hear this call, because I want to just take this call.
I can put the headphones on Connor if you want.
Yeah, just for a second. Yeah, please, if you would. Connor!
Hi, Adrian.
Oh, there you are. How are you? Sorry, the lady wants to just pass a comment to you. Liz, welcome to 98FM.
Hiya.
Liz, you're a bit annoyed about this. Why?
It makes me so angry. They're basically squatters. What they're doing is illegal, and I love how his point keeps being, we're sick of excuses off the government. Well, people like me are sick of excuses off people like them. Why?
We're
like,
not making
know,
excuses.
Hold
we're not
on a minute. You
either.
Keep going on about this homeless crisis. There's not a homeless crisis in this country. There's a housing crisis.
No, and there are 10,000 people homeless. There's 3,000
children. There's not 10,000 people homeless.
Living in hotels, living in homes.
Yeah, exactly. They are living. Exactly. They are living in hotels.
No,
they are living in homes.
Our friends, our relatives, and our neighbours that suffer every day in on the streets, in hotels, in homes.
But the thing is, they're still living somewhere. When you are living somewhere, you are not homeless. You are not homeless if you have a roof over your head. Now, I know a hotel room is no place to rear a family. And I know a hub is no place to rear a family. But there is no children sleeping rough on the streets in Dublin. And I'm in Dublin every day of the week. I'm telling you now, there is no children sleeping rough. And it makes me so angry when they keep saying
there's
so many children homeless.
Hotels up and down the
and whose fault is that? It's not all down to the government. What are their parents doing to get them a house? What are their parents doing to get them a home?
Well, in fairness, Liz, Liz,
on the children in this crisis and how children are affected.
And in fairness, Liz, every single
it's disgraceful.
Every single situation is different. Not everybody has somebody to fall back on in terms of family or friends or whatever.
I'm not saying that everybody does. But what annoys me about the situation is how they keep saying there's so many children homeless. As I said, I'm in the city centre every day of the week. There's no children sleeping rough. And no matter how many empty, no matter how many empty buildings or anything you occupy, no, I don't have children myself. But that's irregardless.
Would you take your children to a hub? Would you like?
If it meant they weren't sleeping on the streets, yes, I would. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't be stuck in any kind of hub or hotel room for 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, because I do something to get myself out of that situation. This is bullshit.
When the average rent in Dublin...
Dublin's not the only county in Ireland.
Okay, hang on. Hang on, Liz, relax there for a second. The fact of the matter is that Dublin has become ridiculous for trying to rent. And I know what you're saying.
And I fully understand that.
You can move down the country.
I can't rent a place to myself.
Okay,
I still live at home with my parents because of the fact that I can't move out. And I know that.
Aren't you lucky?
Yeah, exactly. I'm very lucky that I can fall back and I can still live with my parents. But at the end of the day, all these people that are living in hotel rooms or that are living in hubs are not all off the streets. I guarantee you they all had private rented houses. They all had apartments off private landlords and then couldn't afford to rent. And that, as hard as that is, at the end of the day...
Okay, hang on, I can't hear both of you. Okay, I can't hear both of you. Connor, let me ask you this. And it's something I know Jamie has asked you already. This protest is designed for what purpose? Okay, you had a march last night, 150 people there. There are 10 people staying in the building. What do you honestly expect? And if you consider how, I know you say this isn't another Apollo House, but considering what happened at Apollo House, we still have a housing crisis. Are you not just wasting all those people's time?
No, no, we're not, Adrian. Like, already we've been speaking to elected councillors who think this movement has real potential and who think
real potential for what, Connor?
That they can get the council behind compulsory purchase orders to take over this property for a start and other properties and vacant land just like it after that, and to put that to immediate social use. So that's coming from elected councillors. So these are the people who can ultimately vote and take motions to put these types of plans into effect. So, like, we are looking at very real possibilities here. And, like, the support that we've gotten, I don't think Liz is at all representative of the general response we've gotten from the public. You heard some of the beeps just from cars passing
by. And I do think it's great. And anybody who's driving past, who's listening to this now, you know, feel free to beep away. You're at Summerhill Place, which is in the north inner city.
Adrian, we actually have someone here who's affected by the crisis that has children and has lived in a hub that might like to say a couple of
okay,
words.
Okay, but if you
had to say.
Do me a favour and hang on for a second because I have to take a very quick commercial break, but I'll come straight back to you after that. And Tommy, I'm going to talk to you after the break as well, but you're fuming with what Liz was saying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that one's a head case.
Okay, stay there for a second, Tommy. And Connor, I'll come back to you straight after the break. Live from Dublin City and live from an occupation of a house at Summerhill Place. This is 98FM's Dublin Talks. I want to just go back to Jamie, who is down at Summerhill Place. Jamie, I know you have somebody there to talk to you.
Yes, I do indeed, Adrian. What's your name?
I'm Carol.
Hiya, Carol. So
Carol's here with her young daughter. Carol, just tell me your story and why you're here in your background, because we did want to speak to someone who has actually been homeless and who is currently homeless, and unfortunately that's you.
So basically in 2015 I had to leave my parents' home due to an argument, and I looked for somewhere to rent, couldn't find anywhere, so we had to present as homeless and couldn't find anywhere, so we were told to go to Parkade Street. We were given emergency accommodation, and the emergency accommodation was closed down by DCC, and we occupied the building, and I was given a HAP home. I was offered a HAP home, should I say. And I want to just also say I do walk before anyone starts saying, oh, look, somebody here just jumping on HAP and jumping on the homeless thing, before anyone starts trying to badmouth me or anything. So basically I took the HAP home. It was near my daughter's school. With HAP, you're supposed to get an environmental health inspection within 6 months. 18 months took the DCC to send out a HAP, or an environmental health inspector. They found 42 issues wrong with the house, 3 of them being mould, damp, and ventilation.
Yeah, because I just wanted to ask you if you can bring me inside emergency accommodation for you and your young daughter, exactly what that's like.
Well, the first time around, there was rules. We had curfews. If you wanted to have a night out, you had to ask permission. And also, I just want to state the fact that my daughter knows she can go live with her father and his family. My daughter also knows that if she goes to live with her father, that she knows the system. So she knows this time around, if she goes to live with her father, as she just say in her own words, "Man, you never see children sleeping on the street. So what'll happen to you if I don't stay with you?" That they were her own words. Sadly, that's because she's been through the system twice. So basically, as I was saying, we found 42 issues with the house. Sadly, the landlord decided to sell up, which meant, again, I was searching for other rental properties. So we had to present again as homeless. And it's no parent wants to bring their child through a homeless system. Nobody. And if people think that's what they want to do, they're completely wrong. No parent wants to do that. Because especially, no parent wants to do it once, let alone twice. So again, I looked for rental properties. I can't go back to my parents. My parents have a 2-bedroom house. My dad's not well. He's limited mobility because of a stroke. It means there's reasons I can't go back home.
A number of issues for you.
Yeah.
And just in terms of your young daughter here, how old is she?
She's 7.
Okay, she's 7, Adrian, and she's here in her boat, and she's been asking the cars to beep, and she's been holding a couple of the blackout signs as well.
She's very involved in the housing.
Just I'm actually appalled to think that, you know, she's effectively homeless with you, because she knows as a 7-year-old that if she goes back to her dad, you may end up on the streets. But the fact that you have a child, it gives you more of an option to try and get somewhere to stay. Is that correct?
And she also said, her thing to me was, "Mammy, I was homeless for the first day of school, my first day of big school, and am I going to be homeless for my first day of communion?" Now, as a parent, hearing those words, they're going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Do you think I want to be in this situation? Do they, like, if I could afford rent on my wages, I'd gladly take anywhere, but there is literally nowhere. I have to take HAP. That's the only situation I have. That's the only option I have.
And I know from just earlier on, one of your colleagues here, Connor, was speaking to a lady called Liz, who rang the station. I know you didn't hear Liz's call, but she was basically calling you guys squatters. What would you say to someone who has that opinion? Because she's not the only one. There's lots of support for you, but there may be some people who don't think you should be doing what you're doing.
Well, I'm not in the house, but I'm here supporting, because these guys are here highlighting the fact of the homeless crisis. And that's what people really need to see, what it is. Owen Murphy and Leo Varadkar aren't admitting to the crisis. There is a crisis. Nobody wants their child in a hotel. Nobody wants their child in a B&B. Nobody wants their child in a hub. Hubs, hotels and B&Bs are not homes. And anyone who thinks a mother or a father wants their children in these places are crazy. Because I certainly didn't want my child in the first place, and I certainly didn't want her going into the system a second time. And if people are going to judge me, and I know people are going to jump on and go, "Oh, she's this and she's that and whatever." Yeah. My daughter knows she can go and live with her father. I've encouraged my daughter to go live with her father. But sadly, my daughter knows the system. And she knows if she goes, because she has said to me, "Mammy, you never see rough sleepers with children." She goes, "You'll end up on the street."
Will she speak to me for a sec?
No, I'd rather not.
I just wanted to ask her if she had a message for anyone listening or for Leo Bradford to help. Do you want to speak on the radio about what's happening to try and help your man?
Hey, Murphy, I hate you.
Oh, my God. Hey, Owen Murphy, I hate you. Adrian's dead, 7-year-old.
Out of the mouth of babes, Owen, are you listening?
That's it.
Right,
hope he is.
Jamie, what is the... tell her, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. What is the building itself like? What sort of conditions are there in there?
Well, I'm afraid I can't get in. I've asked a couple of times and I'm told that they actually have a security team inside and they've just been... They seem to have a knock that they're... like a coded knock to get in, and there's a couple of locks on the doors. Obviously, since they managed to get in, they've added locks and stuff. So all the curtains are closed on the downstairs level, and the upstairs level, the curtains are also closed. So I can't actually get in. But what I have been told is that they split the house into different areas for different type of, you know, different types of families and people to have some sort of privacy. And I believe there are some outreach volunteers in there as well, whether that might be to do with addiction or other things as well. And also, I think there's a counsellor in there, because a lot of these people who are homeless are clearly, you know, not in a very good place mentally, as you just heard there from Carol about, you know, she's very worried that if she loses her child or her child goes back to her dad, that she'll end up sleeping on the streets. And every day, Adrian, we come to work in Stephen's Green in the middle of town, and we see people sleeping rough in sleeping bags, in doorways every single day. And as I said, in the summertime, it's at least warm. But in the wintertime, do you remember the snow we had and the rain that's going to come again for the winter?
Absolutely.
What a horrible place to think to try and live. So these people are trying their very best. And the majority of cars driving by, I'd say every second or third car is keeping their horn in support. And as the lad said, the guards were here last night. They were worried that the place may be raided last night. It wasn't. So at the minute, there's no security or police presence at all. But you will think the landlord who owns this property will want these people out. Mm. So we'll have to watch this space and see what happens over the next couple of days for sure.
All right, 98FM, Jamie Moore, thanks very much indeed for joining us live from Summerhill in Dublin's north inner city, where that protest continues. And I was interested to read, actually, we've been trying to track this man down, but to no avail, but... Aaron Downey, a guy from the Blanchardstown Housing Action Committee, was quoted in today's Herald as having said, illegal occupations such as this are the only way for change to happen. This could be the spark that could inspire something bigger, he said. We advocate that people should take public ownership of buildings that have been left vacant for a long period of time. I think that's the only way we'll get change. And as I said, we have attempted to track him down. If you're listening, Alan or Aaron, I would love to talk to you. But he is advocating that people should take public ownership of buildings that have been left vacant for a long period of time. He says, I think this is the only way we'll get change. Sorry, lads, that call has gone offline. One, if you can try and get him back there. This could be an interesting protest. They say it's not Apollo House Part 2. They say we are occupying because enough is enough. Rent hikes, evictions, poor housing conditions, people stuck in overcrowded homes living in bunk beds or packed into their relatives' homes, people couch surfing, sleeping rough, living in hostels. We hear about these horrendous situations every day now. We all know somebody who is affected. And yet those in power sit on their hands. There's no political will to make real and meaningful change. Now, I know Owen Murphy would completely disagree with that. He would argue that they are making many efforts to change. Liz, when I read out that list of the problems and the reasons they're holding this protest, I mean, you have to accept that we do have a problem here.
I don't deny that there's a problem with housing. My problem is with them keep saying that it's a homeless crisis. It's not, because even if they manage to get the government to turn around and say, yeah, compulsory orders for these buildings, and they set them up, all they want housed are the people who are in hotel rooms or hubs or any. And I understand that them places aren't the place to rear children. I know it's not healthy for them. But at the same time, we're still going to have an actual homeless crisis, because rough sleepers will always sleep rough. There's always going to be a percentage of people who, for whatever reason, prefer to sleep in a doorway. And when if they manage to get all these buildings that they want to occupy, get people out of hotels and into them, that's fair enough. But I guarantee you, all these voices shouting about a homeless crisis don't give a shit about the rough sleepers. They don't care about the fella in the doorway. Do you know what I mean? And that's what annoys me, because they keep saying about how many children and all are homeless. As I said, I don't see homeless children in the street.
No, and I mean, you heard that woman.
Exactly,
you heard that woman with her child. Yes,
said that I don't. So there's no point keep saying all these children are homeless, because they're not. And even though a hotel room might not be a home, it is a roof over our head. Do you know what I mean? And that's what annoys me about it. It's real. They're doing all this to get people out of hotels, but there's an awful lot of people in hotel rooms or in hubs that are there by choice.
All right. Let me just. Thanks very much for your call, Liz. I appreciate it. Liz is dead right, says this message. I was walking around Dublin the weekend, and 99% of the homeless people are homeless because of a self-inflicted issue. I think we should help them, but not give them all homes. They need to help themselves also, but they want it all for nothing. Why are we all working hard and doing the right thing if we can get it all for nothing? And that's from Shane.
This is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy. 98FM.